Then I'll pull out my credibility kit. And basically, my credibility kit is in a binder that I bought from Staples. And you can, it flips open. The first thing that's in there is my cover letter, explaining what I do and how I do it, my resume, who I am, what I've done in the past, what schools I went to, where I grew up. I show them deals that I've done, pictures of houses. Now, if you haven't done any deals, but you're a member of a group, now you are a member of a group, right? Are you a member of a real estate investment club? If you're not, you should be. Every area has one by now. What you do is you say, I'm a member of a group of people that buys and sells so many houses a month. These are some of the deals we've done. And get testimonials or deals from other people in your group. Show them the deals. Get some referral letters. Get the referral letters from your insurance company, your banker, people that know you and know well of you, business people in the town, town celebrities, town selectmen. Anybody that will say anything good about you, get them to say it good and write it in a letter and put it in your credibility kit. Also, set up a press release. The newspapers are always looking for things to add into the business section. Put in a press release about your company, Results Home Buyers, founded by Dave Lindahl, the company that buys and sells houses. They're going to be having an open house on such and such a house on such and such a day, or something like that. Just anything you come up with, do a press release, and then once you do the press release, of course, clip it out of the paper and put it into your credibility kit. Make copies of it or buy several different papers for that particular day, because you're going to have more than one credibility kit. Because number one, you're going to lose it. Number two, you're going to leave it at a seller's house, which I've done several times. You're going to have to go back for it. But in the meantime, you've got two other people that you've got to see, and they've got your credibility kit. So you want a couple. Not only that, after you start getting really good at this, you're going to have people on your team, and you're going to be training people. So you're going to want another credibility kit for when you're sending other people out to do your negotiating. Because, as we know, the more you can delegate, your job should be to find them and to finance them. And the more you can delegate out, the quicker and faster you're going to be able to grow your company. That being said, you don't want to train your competition. So the people that you're actually training, you want to make sure that they're people that are going to stay with you for a long period of time. Testimonials. This is where the testimonials come in. I have got great testimonials from people that I have helped sell their properties. Let me share a couple of them with you right now. Here's one that says, and this is in my credibility kit. John H. from East Boston says, thank you so much for coming to the rescue and allowing us to move forward with our lives. Your ability to take over when all other options failed us was truly what the doctor ordered. Ernst S. from Easton wrote, I'm grateful to you, Dave, not only for your valuable assistance, but also for your tenacity in convincing me that your program was not a scam. I'll admit that it seemed like it was too good to be true, and therefore I was a little, and in parentheses you write, okay, maybe a lot, skeptical at first, but I am convinced that no solution would have been found for me through what most people consider to be conventional channels. Is that powerful? That's pretty powerful. Gladys from Malden wrote, not only did you find us a way to make up the back payments, you did everything you said you were going to do. Thank you for your honesty. One more, Nicole, the testimonial that I told you about, the girl that called us off of the sign, she wrote that we made the $82,000 from. She writes, Dave, I thought I was going to lose the house to the bank, and I was going to be branded with a foreclosure on my credit report for the next 7 years. Instead of losing everything, you saved my credit, and I put money in my bank account. Is that a powerful testimonial? Not only does she say how great I am, but she also gives the benefits of the fact that she's not branded with a foreclosure, and she put money in her bank account, and I saved her credit rating. The three big benefits in negotiating issues that you're going to be using. And I didn't tell the people. She told the people for me. That's what makes that testimonial so powerful. So testimonials are next. Now, you should have a section in there that's called You Versus the Realtor, because their other option is to sell it through a realtor if they've got time, and that is on their mind. So what you want to do is you want to go through what you would buy it for or the different costs that are involved, but what you would buy it for and what the realtor would buy it for and how long it's going to take. See, the difference is you can close. Normally you can close I can close in 7 days. I can close in 3 days if I have to, but I like seven so I can really do my due diligence thoroughly. But you can close in 14 to 30 days, whatever you're most comfortable with. They don't have to make any more payments. Now, if they put it on the market, the average real time on the market for a realtor be about 60 days. maybe 90 days. Check and see what it is for your area. It could be even longer. And then add, after it goes under agreement, 60 more days after that, because what they're going to do is they're going to have to get their bank financing before they close. So potentially you have at least 5 more months where these people are either going to still be behind on their payment or they're going to have to make their payment. And if their payment's approximately $1,000 a month, that's an additional $5,000 that they're going to not get from the sale of their property. Plus, add on a 6% real estate commission and say the house is worth $100,000, that's $6,000. If it's worth $200,000, that's $12,000. If it's worth $300,000, that's $18,000 that they're going to have to pay out that they're not going to get as well. So go down the list of all the benefits of doing business with you, all the things that they would have to do if they're going to go with a realtor, and show them that either it equals out or that they're going to get more money by walking away with you. And then I always have a letter in there from the Better Business Bureau. I'm a member of the Better Business Bureau. People love to see that letter. It's a letter from the Bureau stating that my company, Results Home Buyers, is a member of good standing, that we haven't had any complaints in the last 3 years. The Better Business Bureau only goes back 3 years. But it shows that we haven't had any complaints in the last 3 years. And that is a big credibility key. You know, when the Better Business Bureau, you hear it all the time, check the Better Business Bureau, make sure they're a reputable company. Well, I'm showing them the letter from the Better Business Bureau that says I'm reputable. Then from there, I go into the income and expense sheet. And on this income and expense sheet, what I do is I simply list. I say, okay, let's do this. Before we even begin, let's see where we stand right now. I'm going to need some information from you. Tell me what your income is, your yearly, monthly, or weekly income is. And what you're going to do is you're going to make that into a yearly figure. You're going to put it on the top of the income and expense sheet on page 34. You get their income, their spouse's income, or the household income that might be coming in. Take that and divide it by 12 and get a monthly income. Now that we've got the monthly income, let's get all the expenses that you have. Let's get your credit card debt. How much is it? And how much do you owe? Your car loans, what are the payments, any other debt that you might have, any other personal loans that you might have. We get the total debt there, but that's not the total debt. That's not the total outflow from the house. The total outflow are the other items on that page. The food that they have to pay each month, the heating bill, the electricity, the gas. Now, I get this. I say, how much is your gas going to be to put in your car? How much is your electricity bill each month? How much is your auto insurance each month? Because most people finance it in. You know, your health insurance, what are you paying for that? Cable TV, internet. Nobody wants to go without their cable TV and internet. What are you paying for your kids' clothes, your kids' supplies, your kids' activities? I get everything down there and I get the total outflow. You know what I often find? I find that the total outflow is larger than the inflow. And a lot of times, this is the first time that they have actually sat down and thought about this. It's actually the first time that they've had it down on paper, black and white, and they're looking at it and they realize that there is no way that they're going to be able to stay in this house. And I've had people break down in tears after showing this page, and you will too. So be prepared for it. Now, if there is a positive, we just did a recent deal a couple of days ago where the woman had a positive of $145 a month. $145 a month. She had all this outflow. I said, ma'am, does it make sense to be living for your house? Anything could happen that could wipe out that $145, but does it make, and obviously you're not going to be able to make up your back payments with this $145 a month. But if you could, does it make sense to be living for your house, or does it make more sense to maybe sell the property, get some money for it, not go into the pre-foreclosure, not get kicked out on the street from the bank, have your credit rating repaired, and then start fresh. Go out and get yourself an apartment. Now look, and then now compare what apartment's going to cost. Now, principal, interest, tax, and insurance may cost $1,200. The apartment costs $600. She's going to save $600 a month. So I say, ma'am, does it make sense to maybe move into an apartment? I'm going to give you some money to move out and start saving that additional $600 a month and not be stressed out every month about your payment. And then, you know, because the best part of America is that anytime you need to start again, you have the ability to start again. And I believe this is one of the times in your life. Do you agree with me? Boom. They usually agree with you. Then it's time to go into the negotiation of the sale of the property. Now, when we're talking about negotiating, we're always looking to do a win-win situation. All right? I'm not trying to go in there, as I said earlier, I'm not trying to go in there and take advantage of somebody. First thing I want to do is I want to see if I can keep them in their house. If I can't keep them in the house, then I want to work out something that's good for both of us. If I know they're going to get foreclosed on in 2 weeks and I could probably steal this house for them and kick them out with nothing, you know, or $1,000, I don't do that. Usually it's about, I'll offer $5,000, sometimes $3,000, but usually $5,000 to move out of the house. They have a lot of equity in the property. I may offer them a little bit more. I just recently did a deal where there was $70,000 in equity in the property. I was happy to give the guy $20,000 to move out of the property, and there was $50,000 equity left for me. So you want a win-win situation. You want to write down all the goals and objectives, all your goals and objectives of the people when you're sitting there. You say, okay, usually, as I said, their goal is to stay in the property, but it may not be. They may realize that they want to leave, all right? And also you want to find their objections. Because if you can handle their objections, then you'll be able to purchase the property. What would be an objection? I don't know you. I don't trust you. How are you going to handle that? Credibility kit. How do I know you're going to make my payments if you take it over subject to? Credibility kit. So you want to weed out the objections, because the objection that you don't know about, that's the one that's going to stop you from actually getting the deal, believe it or not. So weed out the objections and find out what they are. And then try to do the workout with the bank. They can't work it if that's what they want to do. Then when you're negotiating, you let them know, this is the benefits of you selling the property to me. You're going to get some money. You're not going to get thrown out on the street. The bank is not going to come in here, have an auction in front of your property, an embarrassing auction in front of your property, and then kick you out with nothing. I'm going to stop your foreclosure, which means you're going to tell them the benefit. The feature, you're going to tell them the feature, I'm going to stop the foreclosure. But you've got to tie that down with a benefit. You've got to let them know what the benefits are of your features. So you're not going to have a foreclosure. Well, that's great. But you've got to tell them, even though it seems obvious, that means you won't have a foreclosure on your credit report. That means for the next 7 years, you won't have that black mark on your report. You know, when you start fresh and start new, you're going to be able to buy within 6 months. Because there, once a foreclosure is fixed, you know, when the back payments are made up and the payments are made for 3 or 4 months straight and they've made their payments on everything else, they've reestablished their credit. There are so many different programs out there now for people with C and D credit to buy houses. It's unbelievable. But if they can go 3 to 6 months and go out and buy another house, or they can go up a year and have B credit and go out and buy, or they can go 2 years and get their credit back up to A. But regardless, they're not going to have the foreclosure on their credit report, and they'll be able to buy another property a lot sooner. Their credit's going to get repaired. It's going to get repaired because you're going to make up the back payments. Number one. Number two, if you take it over subject to and then sell it with a lease option, well, you're going to be making the monthly payments for the owners. You making the monthly payment and making them on time is going to help repair their credit. And I've actually had situations where I have repaired the people's credit, and about a year, year and a half later, even though I've told them it's going to be 2 or 3 years, you know, I usually have it in my contract. Sometimes I put 2 years, sometimes I put 3 years that I'm actually going to pay off the mortgage. I like to get it as far out as I can. But even though I have it in the contract that I'm going to be making their payments for 3 years, year and a half later, they'll come to me and say, hey, I want you to pay off that mortgage because I want to buy another property. My credit's repaired now. I say, that's great, but you said I can have it for 3 years, and I've got a tenant in there, and I can't kick them out because I'm under a lease. Well, I want to be off that mortgage. You've got to buy it out. No, I don't have to buy it out because that wasn't the agreement. But I'll tell you what we can do, and this is what you always do in this situation. You let them know that you will give them a lease for that mortgage that they can show their bank, so when they're going to buy another property, that mortgage is going to be a wash. And that works with every lending institution. And you explain that to them at the time, because that's one of their objections. How do I know you're going to make their payment? What if I want to buy something else? Those are two of their objections. And you explain that to them at the beginning, that I will give you the lease, you will bring it to the bank will consider that a wash, and you'll see they'll see that, you know, the payments have been being made to the bank. But you know what? A year and a half later, they've forgotten all about that. So you've got to reinforce it to them or remind them. And also, like I said, they get a fresh start sooner. So those are the four main reasons or the four negotiating tools that you're going to use. They get some money now. They're not booted out of the property. They don't have a foreclosure on their credit report. Their credit gets repaired, and they get a fresh start a lot sooner. Here's one of the letters that I use.